In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Brothers and sisters, glory to Jesus Christ. We're finding ourselves at the beginning of our journey to Great Lent. And the theme, if you will, if you want to call it that, is, as we hear in the hymnography of the church, is that Lent is coming. The Lenten spring has come. We're going to sing in a couple of weeks. And this coming Sunday begins the Lenten Triodion. And that's basically the liturgical book. It encapsulates the period of time of Great Lent itself, the 40 days of Lent, but also the preparatory weeks preceding it. And it begins this Sunday with the Sunday of the Publican and the Pharisee, and it ends with the Vespers of Great and Holy Saturday. And it contains all of the hymns and the readings for Great Lent, plus this period of preparation. And so what it does is it is basically pointing us on a journey, and Great Lent for us is really a journey. We are going somewhere. And this period that's coming up, that begins this coming Sunday, this period of three Sundays that are preparing us, getting us oriented for our journey through Great Lent, is telling us that we are going to be going on a journey and we have somewhere to go. And the theme of each particular Sunday is giving us a clue, an indication of where we are to go, so that we know that, for example, we want to go somewhere. And as we heard last Sunday, the Sunday of Zacchaeus, we have a desire, we want to go somewhere. And we have to know that we have somewhere to go. And that is given to us in the lesson of the Sunday of the Prodigal Son. And then we also have to have a reason to go there, which is this coming Sunday, the Sunday of the Publican and the Pharisee, giving us a reason that we know we have to take a journey. And so, brothers and sisters, if we think about our Lenten walk as a journey that we are taking, if we are to embark on a journey, we have to know where we are. We have to know what our present position is. And the fact is that what we learn, the church in her wisdom tells us that we have strayed far from God. We have become distant from him. We find ourselves in a country that is far, far away. We're far away from the divine gifts and the life and the abundance that's intended for us. And that's the lesson given to us, for example, in the gospel reading of the prodigal son. The son strays far away from the father, and he finds himself in a distant land. He's very, very far away from home. He's far away from home, and he knows that he has somewhere that he needs to go. So if we're to embark on a journey, we have to know where we are, and then we have to know where we are going, and we have to know what we need to take with us in order to get there. We have to know what to put in our backpacks, what to put in our pack, and what to take out. So the things we'd be taking out would be the passions, those things that basically divide us and separate us from God. And we have to put into it the things that we need in order to get closer to God. So out of our pack, out of the sack we carry around from us, should come all those passions, those things that we are trying to dispense with, we're trying to take away from ourselves, purge from our hearts, that keep us separated from God. And instead, in their place, we want to put in those good things, those virtues that bring us closer to God, things like humility and love, the fruits of repentance. These are the provisions that we take with us on our journey, brothers and sisters, through Great Lent. And the provision ultimately that we need, the one thing most needful for us, is the Lord himself, is Christ himself. And of course, during these weeks of bright sadness, as we walk our way through our Lenten journey, we are receiving the Eucharist as a means of sustenance on our journey. And that's one of the reasons why we celebrate the Liturgy of the Presanctified Gifts during the weeks of Great and Holy Lent. We cannot, except on the feast, we cannot celebrate the Divine Liturgy during the week, during Great Lent, but the Liturgy of the Presanctified Gifts gives us the opportunity to receive the precious body and blood of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ that has been reserved from the previous Sunday as a means, as a provision of sustenance, of to sustain us in our walk during our time of fasting, during our time of prayer, during our times of almsgiving. And the purpose is to bring us closer to God himself. So again, we are embarking on a journey. We have to know where we are, which is where we've strayed far away from God. We have to know where we are going, which is we need to be directed toward God himself, towards the kingdom, and we need to know what to take with us, what we need to not take with us in terms of the passions, and what we do need to take with us, which are the cardinal virtues that bring us closer to Christ himself. And so what is our destination in this journey? Well, our destination is, of course, ultimately unity with Christ. It is the kingdom of God. It is, in physical terms, the preparation for death, the preparation for judgment, but also the understanding that we are ultimately to grow closer to God and ultimately to be with him in the place which was originally intended for us, the place of brightness that is intended for us. And so as we continue on this journey of Great Lent, we have a series of things that we're going to do during this time of preparation. We have these preparatory three Sundays that we talked about, the Sunday of Zacchaeus and the Sunday of the publican and the Pharisee, which is coming up this coming Sunday, and then the Sunday of the prodigal son. And these lessons are given to us to give us a message. And the message is most fundamentally that we must learn humility, because humility is the primary and cardinal virtue that we're going to need to get us to the place where we need to be on our journey. And a common prayer that we'll be praying at the beginning of Great and Holy Lent is, of course, as we all know, the prayer of St. Ephrem. O Lord and Master of my life, take from me the spirit of sloth, faint-heartedness, lust of power, and idle talk, but give rather the spirit of chastity, humility, patience, and love to thy servant. Yea, O Lord and King, grant me to see my own sins and not to judge my brother, for you are blessed to the ages of ages. Amen. And so this particular prayer, the prayer of St. Ephrem, is very, very useful because it is indicating to us those things that we need to give up and those things that we need to take on. Again, going to this idea that we're on a journey, we're carrying a big rucksack with us, we need to take some stuff out of that sack that we're carrying around with us. What do we need to take out? Sloth. And in the case of the prayer, this is referring to like a spiritual state, torpor, laziness, inattention, passivity, a sense of disengagement. It's the opposite of nepsis, of alertness of heart, where our spirits should be, where our souls should be, being alert and anticipating the presence of Christ, just as the women were with the lamps when they were preparing for the coming of the bridegroom, which is a hymn that we're going to hear later on, of course. That's a theme that's continued and finds its culmination in Holy Week. And we are to be the opposite of that. Opposite of being slothful means being attentive, being always prepared. So we need to get rid of the sloth and faint-heartedness. And in this sense, this can be understood as despondency. And the fathers of the church identify despondency as the real danger to the human soul. It saps us of our courage. It takes away our zeal and our courage. The courage that Zacchaeus had when he climbed up the sycamore fig tree to go find, to seek out the Lord. The courage that the centurion had, the boldness that the centurion had, a soldier, to seek out the Lord and ask him to heal his servant, even though he knew that he was unworthy that the Lord would come under the roof of his house. And still he invited them there. Why? Because he loved his servant so much and he knew he was in the presence of God. So those are the things that we need to be emulating. We need to be emulating the faith and the zeal that Zacchaeus had and that the centurion had, the courage that they had. And that means getting rid of the faint-heartedness and getting rid of it so that we would be like them, like Zacchaeus, like the centurion, like all others who were bold enough to approach Christ, the great physician, for help. We need also to get rid of lust of power, as the prayer tells us. And lust of power is not just a lust or a desire for authority on earth. And authority, after all, belongs to God ultimately, and God is the one who grants it to anyone else. But it could also be understood as extending to attention-seeking behavior, seeking all things that are unto my benefit and not to my neighbor's benefit, enrichment of myself at the expense of my neighbor, glorification of myself at the expense of my neighbor, it all being about me. All being about me individually and not about others. This lust of power, self-aggrandizement, which is the opposite of humility. This is a thing we need to get rid of, brothers and sisters, to take out of our sacks to get ourselves ready for this journey. And of course, idle talk. And commonly we would understand this to mean gossip, which is all too common. But we could also understand it to mean hateful and provocative speech. Words that we say that are designed to hurt, to incite, to damage our sisters and brothers. We need to put this aside. We need to get rid of it, because as long as these things are in our hearts, there's no room for Christ himself to be in our hearts. So as the prayer of St. Ephrem reminds us, we are to take these things out. But what do we put in their place? Well, the prayer tells us, first and foremost, humility. As we said before, humility is the cardinal virtue. This is the idea, this is the notion that these preparatory Sundays leading us up to the beginning of Great and Holy Lent are trying to tell us. Humility of the tax collector, of the prostitute, of the prodigal son, all of those with broken hearts and broken bodies who seek out the mercy that comes from God and by which we know God. We are to have that level of humility and approach God in humility, to know that we have strayed far away from him and our place is with him, to be close to him. We are also to put in the spirit of chastity. And it is unfortunate that in the contemporary view, this we have a distorted idea of this as meaning exclusively sexuality or referring to sexuality. But rather, when you look at what the translation is, what we're really talking about is the idea of whole-mindedness or wholeness or integration, which is the opposite of sloth. It is the reintegration of mind and spirit, heart and body. It's the reacquisition of those virtues that lead us toward God and getting rid of those things that separate us from God, and being intentional and wakeful in doing so. We need to put in the spirit of patience. We have to put away that fatal flaw, which is to appoint ourselves judge and jury, and so often punisher, and instead restore that godly virtue, which is openness and forbearance, which are at the root of love for our neighbor and ultimately of God himself. And finally and foremost, we have to put in that cardinal virtue of love, and by which we mean the selfless kind of love, the kind that is shown by God himself, not the transactional and selfish kind that's shown by man. And so, as we prepare to take this journey through great and holy Lent, brothers and sisters, we get ready to pray this prayer, which we begin to do in earnest during Lent itself, the prayer of St. Ephraim. And we talk about those virtues: take away the spirit of sloth, faint-heartedness, lust of power, and idle talk, but give instead to us humility, chastity, patience, and love to thy servant. But we all too often, when we pray that prayer, and we make those prostrations, and we pray it again and again and again during Lent, we forget the first part, because the emphasis should be on the first two parts of that prayer: O Lord and Master of my life, which means God the Father is the master of our lives, not us. He is. He is sovereign over life. He is sovereign over our lives, and our lives belong to him. So, O Lord and Master of my life should be the emphasis. And then the next clause, which is, take from me, meaning we cannot, by our own power, by our own authority, by our own work, by our own will, necessarily by ourselves in isolation, get rid of those things that separate us from God. We can't do it. It's an artifact of the fall, of Adam, that was the fall of all creation, that these things are in us and our hearts are broken, our hearts are distorted, and they separate us from God in our actions and our thoughts and our intentions. We can't do it. God is in control. We have to give him that authority, know that he is in control, and it is only by his work and by his will and by his what he gives to us that we have the courage to do those things. God is in charge, and when we commend these things to him, he enables us to take these things, take these parts away from us, those things that separate us from him. God is both the constant companion, but he is also the author of all and sovereign over all. We tend to think that we are always in control, and this is emotionally and psychologically and physically and spiritually exhausting, and we need to give that up. And during this very difficult time that we're going through, during a time of global pandemic, when so many things seem to be disrupted and taken away from us, we are indeed psychologically and emotionally and physically exhausted. And it is only in this condition now that we approach God, we have the opportunity to approach God in humility, and we commend these things to him and place it upon his shoulders, because he is our faithful and constant companion, and he does not fail us. And we commend these things to him, and we ask for his strength, and we ask for his love, and we ask for his patience, and we ask for his forbearance, and to give us the courage and the strength required to make this journey back toward him, back to the place of brightness, back to the place of richness, back to the place that has been intended for us that we've strayed so far away from. That's what this period of preparation for Lent is all about, and that's what our Lenten journey is indeed all about. So, brothers and sisters, as we get ready to start Lent, as we go through these three preparatory Sundays and we begin our Lenten journey, we should ask some questions of ourselves. What is in our backpacks? What are the things that we have in there? What do we need to take out? And what do we need to put in? Do we even know where we are? Do we know where we're going? Do we have our maps ready? What does our map look like? What does it tell us? Does it tell us where we need to go? Do we have our compass? Where is it steering us? Is it steering us in the right direction? Are we oriented towards God, or are we oriented towards something else? We need to get ourselves aware and awake and oriented and understand that we are about to embark on a very sacred and holy journey. And this year, above all years, is our opportunity to use it to our benefit, that we might grow closer to our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom is due all glory, honor, and worship, together with his only begotten Son and his all-holy good and life-creating Spirit, now and ever and unto the ages of ages. Amen. God bless you all.